Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, as government scrambles to pass a contentious budget, South Africans are facing the real consequences, not least in healthcare. A VAT hike is on the cards, medical tax credits have been frozen, public healthcare remains underfunded, and private medical scheme contributions are heading north. So how much more will South Africans be expected to absorb? And maybe more importantly, is the system actually sustainable? I'm going to talk now to Damien McHugh, Chief Marketing Officer at Momentum Health. The organization has some views on this issue. So Damien, welcome. Thank you very much indeed. Let's be blunt. How much more expensive is healthcare going to be for the average South African if this VAT hike is implemented, with the caveat that there is still no agreement here?
Thanks, Jeremy, for having me. I think the VAT hike does have an impact. Now, normally medical aid contributions are not VATable, so the actual VAT increase doesn't immediately increase the premiums by the 1% over a two-year period, or half and half, as was proposed. I think what we need to understand, though, is a lot of services that medical scheme contributions pay for are VATable. So technology, medicine, those types of things could have increases. And as a result of that, we could see an increase in medical, or need a medical scheme increase, just to counter the VAT impact. Now, when it happened the last time, we saw more or less sort of 0.6 to 0.75 increase for every percentage point increase in VAT. So an increase at the end of the year on medical scheme contributions, everything else being equal, let's just say there was no other reason to put an increase through, probably about 0.6 or 0.7% extra that would need to be on VAT. So that's more or less the impact that consumers could see as a result of that.
And it becomes surely more difficult for all medical schemes then to call themselves affordable with the kind of hike that you're given and the squeeze under which consumers find themselves.
Yeah, I think it's one of the difficulties we're finding in the healthcare industry in South Africa. It's not like, there's a lot of rhetoric that says, the private sector's working, the public sector's broken. I don't think either sector is working, actually. And I think, as you've rightly indicated, Jeremy, the cost of healthcare now for a family is probably one of their most expensive costs in the family, other than maybe than your bond. But, the cost of comprehensive medical scheme is a significant amount of money. So medical schemes have this struggle of trying to manage the increasing costs of disease burden, i.e. people getting sicker, people more unhealthy, and having a premium, which they are not a profit entity, having a premium that covers those costs. And if the people are getting sicker and there's not a lot of younger people coming into the system, which is what's happening in South Africa, you have this strain at a higher rate than inflation every single year. And that's what we've seen. We've seen medical scheme increases in the last few years at 3%, 4%, and 5% more than CPI, depending on the respective medical scheme. So yes, it's a struggle for the schemes to remain relevant. It's difficult for consumers to be able to navigate because of the cost of them, and that cost becomes ever increasing more expensive, and consumers have to make difficult decisions about what they cover and what they don't cover, or in some cases whom they cover and whom they don't cover in their family, which is also a terrible decision to have to make.
And Damien, the second pain point here are medical tax credits, which were not adjusted in the budget. This effectively is a stealth tax on people paying their own way. Again, that just adds to the problem, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, we have to be able to fund the journey into universal healthcare or national healthcare picture over time. The tax credit was designed as a benefit to medical scheme members because they were paying for it themselves, and therefore the government gave them some alleviation in tax because they weren't a burden on the tax base or burden on the government. So not putting an increase through on that does mean that the relevant or the relative refund that we get back from the government is a little bit less for those people on medical schemes. But in time, in a post-universal or post-NHI system, there wouldn't be a tax credit. So I guess as we transition towards a national healthcare system, tax credits will fall more and more and more away. And this is the first step maybe of that or that direction in which government is leading us. I think the difficulty is in the transition when we don't have something to replace the medical schemes, it's difficult not to get an increase in the tax credit. But yes, I think, Jeremy, it will be something that we'll probably see in the years that comes as more benefits are put into the national healthcare system and it starts to work and medical schemes can't or don't provide a similar level of cover, then the need for tax credits becomes less.
NHI, as we know, is not only full of gaps, but we also have no solid timeline as far as that's concerned. Yeah. So I'd suggest then that we're almost heading, if we're not there already, to a two-tier crisis where we're at the point now where the middle class is going to find it difficult to afford private healthcare and the public system isn't ready to catch them.
Yeah, I think that is one of the challenges that we face. I think we as a health industry, not just within the medical schemes, but I think the broader health industry have launched a lot of products in the health insurance space as well to try and make sure that people don't opt out of private healthcare in totality and obviously become, you know, then the burden on the state becomes even bigger. But look at solution sets that sort of are, if I can call them, below medical schemes in terms of their cover and price points that enables that middle class to have more affordable private healthcare cover. Without it being too exorbitant and still providing them with decent access.
Which means that the medical schemes are going to have to change their philosophy maybe. There are critics that say medical schemes or the model of medical schemes is just too opaque and profit-driven and that in many ways it's more corporate than caring.
I don't share that same view. I think, you know, medical schemes aren't owned by any corporate. A medical scheme as a legal entity is owned by its members, and the trustees are voted on to that board by the membership that are there. And so there isn't a profiteering in a medical scheme at all. It is a non-profit entity, and it is responsible to make sure that it has money available to pay the claims and future claims of the members that belong to it. Now, that's difficult when there isn't a younger profile of member coming into that scheme. So what happens is an aging profile means that how sick we were next year is going to be more sick than we are this year, because the older you are, the more you claim. You don't get enough people coming in to cross-subsidize those premiums. You're getting an aging pool, a sicker pool over a period of time. And hence, it's not just the inflation adjustments that you need, it's the sickness increase adjustments that you need. And hence why we see those higher inflation numbers. It's definitely not profiteering. It's about making sure that the scheme is sustainable now and into the future, so that those members aren't left. I mean, we could all put through zero increases, but the following year, your claims are going to exceed your contributions and you're going to run out of reserves if you do that all the time. So it's that balance that the medical schemes have to get right.
And how do they do that? That's so interesting. How do you find the balance between the older generation and those that need to come onto the schemes, but also feeling and finding their own degree of financial strain?
Jeremy, I mean, if I had the answer to that question, I probably would have a hang of a lot of people on a medical scheme. But I think there's two balances. One, we have to make sure that the people who are sick when they claim, they get what they, you know, what they paid for. And that's difficult in itself, because many of us, average consumers, buy a medical scheme and we kind of forget about the brochure and we forget about what we purchased and we forget about the option that we've bought, and it doesn't cover everything. And then when we get sick and it doesn't, we get upset with the medical scheme. And partly that's our fault, and I guess partly the medical scheme must also take some, you know, some burden of that. The issue is, how do we remain relevant for that younger consumer? So how do we build in design, given the overregulation of this market, a option which a younger consumer, a 20-year-old coming out of varsity or out of school, goes, Flip, I actually want to belong to a medical scheme, when they actually feel they're bulletproof. The younger consumer doesn't feel they're sick, doesn't feel that they need a medical scheme, and as a result, they don't enter. We need to get them into the system in this cross-subsidy method that we have in the private industry to help us pay for, you know, the Damians and the Jeremys of this world, and that so that when they get old, there's someone paying for them too. So that's kind of the method that we have to try get right. It's kind of like the spirit of we're all here to help one another. That's kind of what the medical scheme is about. It's here to try and help everybody. And we have to design things differently. So we've tried at Momentum to design some unique features where members get money back. They can earn money for free if they're healthier. That money goes back into their benefit design, and as a result of that, they can use that benefit design to even pay for contributions. So we've tried to create a model where your health and your activity can literally be wealth for you as a consumer, and you can pay less because you're healthier. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, that's and each scheme, I guess, has its own challenge or its own way of doing it. Ours is trying to attract young, healthy people into the scheme, which we've done. Actually, we've been one of the most effective of doing that. We have the youngest of the large medical schemes, the youngest profile, and we've had the lowest increase over the last sort of decade. So we really are trying to focus on attracting the young profile into and the young healthy members and being relevant for them, while at the same time, when older people or people who have been on the scheme for a long time are sick, they still get cover. It is a tough balance.
Damian McHugh, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed, Chief Marketing Officer at Momentum Health. I do appreciate your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.